This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. A very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us. Dave Callner and Dave Tindall with you for the 147th Open Championship, which comes from Carnoustie this year. Looking forward to this immensely, and I'm delighted to be joined by Dave Tindall here in the studio. It's 11 years now since Padraig Harrington beat Sergio Garcia in a playoff on the links at Carnoustie, and 19 years since Jean van der Velde's meltdown in the Barry Byrne, that infamous capitulation that saw his dreams drown that year. It took me less than a minute to mention van der Velde. Were you a buyer or a seller?
Yeah, I was a seller.
Yeah, you fancied the under?
Yeah, unders. Yeah, we've had some drama, haven't we, at Carnoustie? The first little mention could be if you're looking for back a playoff, because we've had two, haven't we, the last two editions there, so that could be interesting.
It's historically the toughest course on the open rota. When Paul Laurie stole it, coming from 10 back on Sunday, to beat van der Velde.
Don't tell Paul Laurie that.
And Justin Leonard in the playoff. The winning score was plus six that year. Harrington and Garcia both finished minus seven back in 2007. It's a par 71, measuring 7,402 yards. And as Tiger Woods has said, everything's right there in front of you.
But loves that phrase.
He loves that phrase. It doesn't make it easy. But in recent years, the winning scores have been pretty low. They've ranged from minus 12 to minus 20. The last time an Open champion finished in single digits under par was when Mickelson won in 2013 at Muirfield. A lot depends on the weather, but tell us a little bit more about Carnoustie as a course, Dave.
Yeah, I think they got it wrong, didn't they, in 1999. It was just, it got away from them. Plus six is a bit silly. 2007 at minus seven, I think that could be doable again this year. Obviously, what we've got this year, very different. We've had the summer heat wave in the UK, which we've all been loving. But it's obviously, it's given it that burnt out, fast, firm running appearance, which, I mean, I'm lucky that I've been to most of the Open since 1999. And the one that sticks out a mile or something similar was Hoylake in 2006.
Yeah.
That was another summer heat wave. And Tiger famously only took one driver, didn't he, all week, and his long iron game was fantastic. So this is, it's going to be interesting what they do this week. Apparently the greens are okay. They're at the moment, there's a bit of moisture in them, because obviously they've got to be careful. They can't have the greens drying out as well, and they've lost the course. But the fairways, I mean, I think Tiger said the fairways are running faster than the greens.
Yep.
At the minute.
Yeah.
So I heard an interesting comment from Billy Foster. Apparently he said this is going to be the hindsight Open, in that if people take driver, they wish they'd taken 8-iron off the tee, and if they do it the other way around, so it'll be whatever's right, you'll only know after you've done it, kind of thing. It's hard to predict a strategy. And if you look at...
I love that phrase.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
If you look at what people are saying, Dustin Johnson just saying, well, I'm going to hit load of driver, which probably always says, and other people are saying, Tiger, I think, hit a 7-iron off one tee.
Yeah.
I've seen other players saying they'll sort of wear their 5-iron out this week. Mm. So it's good in that there doesn't seem one way of doing it, which is great.
It's difficult for us.
It makes it harder for us.
Sitting in the studio on a Tuesday to analyse this event, because I think what you've said about Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson's made the comment that he might not hit a driver all week, and Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, driver is their strength, so they're bound to be comfortable with the driver and maybe hit more. So I suppose it will be for certain players, whichever way they feel comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, there's no kind of huge, thick, punishing rough, so that's sort of one thing you can say, well, you can hit driver, because even though the rough is sort of can be quite high, it's the key of it, it's not very dense, obviously because of the lack of rain that there's been up there. So you can wheel away, but it's just obviously they ping off the fairway so much it could ping on forever, and you bounce it off a hump that could throw it miles away. Mm. So yeah, it's going to be interesting whether control or bomb and gouge is going to work.
Yeah, it's a fascinating Open Championship. I think scoring might be a lot lower than we've seen in relatively recent history at Carnoustie. That's my gut feeling.
So -7, you're going to go -12 or something?
Yeah, I think it will be a lot lower than -7 personally. What do you reckon?
Difficult one, isn't it?
It is tough. I think they can control it, can't they?
Yeah, they can control it.
They can, but the weather's going to be a huge factor, as it always is, and it looks pretty benign in the advanced weather forecast.
I've seen about 12 miles an hour in the afternoon.
Which is not a lot, is it really, for an Open?
Not really, but then I've seen these Open forecasts before, and they're just so wrong, it's not true. And you base your, some of your bets on the draw, and then it just flips, and it's like, oh, right, well.
Yeah.
So another tactic there is if you can maybe wait until Wednesday evening to get your bets on. Mm. Obviously, we're betting him running as well. But first round leader bets as well, just take a real, delay, I would, until you see the latest weather forecast. If it pans out like it's saying it will, yeah, I think it's going to be not that windy. It's not right by the sea, but it is quite open and exposed, Carnoustie.
Yeah.
And when I look, there's about 20% rain in the forecast all 4 days. I don't know whether they're just sort of covering their backs, but I'm surprised there's any rain in the forecast, although we've had bits, haven't we, here and there?
Yeah, a little bit. Dustin Johnson heads the betting here with William Hill, 12-1. Justin Rose is 14-1. Ricky Fowler, 15-1. Rory McIlroy is 16s. John Rahm, 18-1. Tommy Fleetwood, 18-1. Jordan Spieth is 20s. It's 22-1. Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas and Tiger Woods, and 25-1 and bigger the remainder. We have Super Bet Boost available on the Open Championship here with William Hill as well. That's well worth checking out. Once you've loaded your bet into the bet slip, click Super Bet Boost. It's 3 or 4 per customer, and you get a significantly bigger price. I was looking earlier, Justin Rose 14-1. If you fancied Rose and you use your Super Bet Boost, that would boost the price to over 17-1 for winning each way. So it's well worth having a look at Super Bet Boost here with William Hill. That's the big promotion ahead of the Open. 50 odds 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 if you are betting each way.
It's an interesting one, that, because a couple of mine are at 28s. And I always think psychologically to get them to 30 just feels like you're eking a bit more value out.
Yeah, it's definitely well worth doing. Should we start with the picks before we go through some of the leading contenders? Is that the best way to work it?
I've got two.
I've got two for the outright as well. Go on, you lead
Who
off.
Who goes first?
You lead off.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Alex Noren.
Okay, yeah.
Is he 28? 25. So we can boost him up a little bit.
Yeah. That.
I think
super
he's quite popular this week, isn't he? I kind of looked at past winners at Carnoustie and what you might need. And I think you look at some of the traits of the former winners there. You've got Ben Hogan going back. You've got Padraig Harrington. You've got Bernard Langer winning the Senior British Open there. All absolutely meticulous, leave no stone unturned. They just go to it to the nth degree to get everything perfect. And I think that pretty much describes Alex Noren. He is a perfectionist.
Yeah.
So I think he's not played the Scottish and Irish Opens, and you kind of think, well, why didn't he? But you can rest assured he will have been doing everything he can.
Do you think it's as beneficial as maybe some suggest?
I think it's down to the individual. I know Alex Noren played it last year, missed the cut, and probably wish he hadn't bothered. And then because I backed him last year, and he finished 6th at the Open, so I don't think that particularly hurt him. I just don't think it was that relevant. There's a theory that if you played the Irish and the Scottish, you might just have used up a bit of petrol, maybe.
Yeah.
And maybe the best route is Irish, miss Scottish, and then come into this one, which would be someone like John Rahm. I think it just depends, doesn't it? Dustin Johnson's got to Carnoustie early and practice on the actual course.
I think Adam Scott's been there 3 weeks, hasn't he?
Right.
I'm sure he's been
there.
He's been there a lengthy He's got Fanny Sunderson on the bag.
Yeah.
He's been there a long time, I think, practicing on the links. So yeah. I think you've got to factor that in as well, perhaps.
Yeah, they've got, each individual golfer's got their own way of preparing.
Yeah.
So there's no one all encompassing strategy that's right or wrong. Although there are good stats, aren't there, for players who've played in the Scottish Open of, is it six of the last eight, maybe?
Yeah.
Have then gone on, it's six of the last eight Open winners played in the Scottish Open. And it didn't really matter how well they did in the Scottish Open. So it has been a useful guy. But then there's some outliers, aren't there? Spieth didn't play anywhere last year. Zach Johnson played in the John Deere.
Yeah.
So two of the last three didn't play in the Scottish Open. So you can you know, twist it however you want.
Yeah. Okay, so Alex Noren.
So Alex Noren, yeah. He's won so much, hasn't he, since 2016 when he won four times from July onwards. Because we'd sort of got used to him as, oh, he's quite good, isn't he, Alex Noren? But not this winning machine. And he's suddenly kicked on a real, you know, gone off a fair few tiers. Won the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. Won the French Open on his last start. These are big, big events. So I think the next stage in his progression is to win a major. And I think he's put some markers down. Tied six at Royal Birkdale last year. Tied ninth a couple of years before that. So I just think it's all lined up for him to play well. And I just think Carnoustie, which he hasn't played in an Open, is really set up perfectly for him this year. He did play it in the Alfred Dunhill Links and shot 64, which was a then course record in 2016. So he's got that recent positive association with it. I must admit, I don't know how useful that's going to be now, Alfred Dunhill Links form, given the course in front of us this week.
Yeah.
So I did some research a while ago, and Tommy Fleetwood's got the best aggregate score over the last 3 years from the Alfred Dunhill. But he said yesterday it's almost a bit irrelevant. I don't think it's completely irrelevant, because I think it's still, some of the visuals are the same. But it's not a bad thing to have if you're Alex Noren, that you shot 64 the last time you went there. But I just think he's got the perfect sort of mindset and control and diligence to do well at this course, and he comes into it on the back of a win.
I agree. Alex Noren, 25-1, Dave's first selection. I know that Brandel Chamblee's not for everyone, his opinions, but I think he makes a really interesting point about, he was talking about Tiger Woods, but this leads itself into the thinking behind Alex Noren as well, to a certain extent, talking about the fact that only two holes, he says, his quote is, only two holes hint at going right to left, which is Tiger's weakness, and the firm conditions will allow him to hit irons off the tee. If only two holes go from right to left, that plays into Alex Noren's hands.
There's a left to righty all the time.
The time. So this course should, in theory, set up perfectly for him.
Yeah, in theory, it's another little, maybe few percent to help Alex Noren, but yeah, it just looks like it's his time for me.
Mark Leishman is right. My number one pick this week at 40-1, the Aussie. This is the major championship he's looked like winning the most, in my opinion, and with seven places on offer, I thought he was definitely a fair price at 40s, given that he's finished inside the top seven in three of his last four Open championships. So there's no doubting he's got the pedigree, and he's been brought up in these sort of conditions as well, those firm and fast courses on the sand belt in Australia, so I'm sure he'll have no problem adapting this week. He finished 13th in the PGA Championship at the end of last year, 9th in the Masters at the start of this year, so got a good recent major pedigree as well. Short games in Fine Fettle, which I think is going to be very important at Carnoustie this week, and even though he's had a season of definite peaks and troughs, he was tied 13th on his latest start in the Quicken Loans National, and I'm expecting a huge performance this week. So Mark Leishman, 40-1 is my number one selection.
Yeah, I think there's not much talk about him this year, really. I think his other players have sort of jumped out more. But I think backing Mark Leishman at 40-1 in every Open is a good long-term strategy, isn't it? Because
it's
the way he plays it.
Yeah, I just think the setup, he hits his long irons such a distance that he'll be another one, I think, that will leave driver in the bag most of the week and plot his way around this golf course. So, yeah, Mark Leishman, 40-1. Your second pick?
My second pick is really, really based on the course in front of us this week. Not just Carnoustie, the conditions, the burnt out fairways, the dry fast running. Because I was thinking my sort of mental database, who plays those courses well. And the one to me that jumped out of mine was Sergio.
Yeah, I'm with my second pick, Sergio Garcia.
I think it's absolutely up his street. I don't think he could have designed it better for himself. I actually was looking back at his quotes at Carnoustie. He obviously famously lost to Padraig Harrington in the playoff at Carnoustie and had a putt to win, didn't he, on the 72nd hole. One that had he holed, he could be a 3- or 4-time major winner now, but he didn't. But so I read his quotes from back then, and he said, I think it was on maybe in the sort of preview day, he said he likes the course, but he wish it was running firm and fast like it was at Hoylake last year.
Right,
so
okay.
That's a real sort of marker that his preferred conditions are firm and fast, because he's got the control, he's got all the imagination, can shape his shots either way, and just loves that. I just think it sorts the men from the boys a little bit.
Was it you that used the quote of him playing all in yellow alongside Tat?
Yeah, that was my friend Harry the Hat.
Yeah,
backed him at Hoylake.
That was a brilliant quote, because he came out in that final grouping
with Tiger. Tiger was in all red and Sergio came out in yellow. And my friend Harry said afterwards, Harry had backed him maybe at like 40s or something, 33s. Just sort of said witheringly, looked like a lemon, played like a lemon. It was fair enough, to be honest. And it was, I think it was just too much for the Sergio Garcia back then, playing with Tiger, you know, in sort of peak Tiger times in the final round of a major. I think it was too much for him, and he finished tied fifth in the end, but he was sort of on the back foot from the start.
Yeah.
Tiger kicked on and won from Chris DeMarco in the end. So I think it wasn't the course that beat Sergio that year at Hoylake. It was Tiger, I think, the sort of mental element. Obviously now Sergio in a completely different place. He's got his major win at the Masters. He's a dad as well, so we've got the nappy factor maybe kicking in a little bit, which hasn't for a while, but it has. He's come back to Europe and he's played nicely, hasn't he? Played well in Germany and France.
He could have won in France, couldn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he traded as favourite early on in that final round after a blistering start.
Yeah, so that's another course that requires control, which obviously harks back to Norrin again.
Yeah.
So I just think Sergio has got his open condition. 10 top 10s in the Open. This is his event. The course this week will just baffle some, but he will just absolutely love it. And I don't see why. I would have thought there's justification for making him shorter than he is.
I agree with you. I think 28-1 is decent value on Sergio Garcia. I mean,
and then you boost it as well. Yeah, you're getting 30, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. And you compare him to Francesco Molinari at the same price.
Yeah,
I know Molinari's enjoying the best season of his career, and we talked about Molinari in the lead up to the John Deere being favourite for a PGA Tour event, and it was fair enough. But this is a different test entirely, a major championship. And Francesco Molinari, I think, has 3 top 10s in his entire career in majors. And as you've just mentioned, Sergio has 10 top 10s in the Open Championship.
And 3 in his last 4 as well. So it's not like he did them all in 2003 or something. But
and he's a Masters champion now.
Yeah.
And he's talked about in the lead-up Carnoustie being one of his favourite Open courses.
Yeah.
And saying that, I don't know if you can take this with a pinch of salt, but saying that there are no demons waiting for me at Carnoustie either, because people are obviously in the lead up to the championship asking him about his missed opportunity back in 2007. But he's a different person now.
Oh, yeah,
he's got a family, and he's just peaking again at the right time, I believe.
Yeah, he's got a major. He just sort of say, if I was him and people were banging on about that, I'd go, 2 words, green jacket. You know, that's done now, isn't it? You're not going to get all. When are you going to win a major, Sergio? That's done and dusted. He can have a free hit at this.
Short game looked in really good nick, I thought, the French as well.
Yeah,
which will be very important.
Perfect game for him. If he gets off on the right foot, you know, maybe he's in the top 10 after day one. I think he's got a massive chance.
Yeah. So we're both going with Sergio Garcia, 28-1 as the second of our 2 selections. Should we go through some of the leading contenders?
Yeah, yeah.
Dustin Johnson, 12-1. Must have an absolutely outstanding chance. We know all about the positives. He was a winner 2 starts back, finished 3rd on his most recent start. Could have won the Open Championship back in 2011 at Royal St George when he
fanned it.
Yeah,
to 2
it was on 14, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and Darren Clarke won.
Yeah.
We know about the positives. Any negatives?
Just the general one that he might just lose a bit of focus at some point. Sometimes he comes to win events, doesn't he, and you think he's just too good for everybody, and then he'll have a like shocking putting day. Mm. You see that the HSBC maybe the back in the last year?
Yeah.
And he just sort of loses it a bit. And he'll come out and say, I hit good putts and they didn't go in. So just sometimes his putter can just really go south on him.
No real negatives apart from that, though.
Not really. I'm sort of nitpicking, really.
Yeah, got a big chance.
Yeah.
Justin Rose is 14-1. If someone had said to you when he had his Open Championship debut, leading amateur back in 98, that he wouldn't have his hands on a claret jug by now, you'd have bet your last pound that he'd have an Open.
It's not even that, is it? He hasn't actually improved his finish.
No,
fourth is his best finish.
It's such a mixed record, really. Yeah. His Open Championship record, but his current form is fantastic. Win at Colonial was brilliant, and
you can certainly make a.
He must fancy it after his finish in the Scottish as well.
It's true. His links form is mixed, but he's won the Scottish Open at Royal Aberdeen on a links course. He was sixth at St Andrews, top 10 last week on the links as well in Scotland. It's not that he can't play links. That's silly, isn't it? That's a silly thing to say. But I don't know. I think he's maybe short enough at that price. He fits a lot of the trends, but he is short for me at that price, I think.
Do you think 15-1 Ricky Fowler's a little bit on the skinny side as well, perhaps?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I've given him quite a lot of love in majors down the years. And maybe I've just got this feeling he'll win one when I'm not on him.
It might be this week.
So probably this week.
Yeah. He's obviously got 8 top 5 finishes in major championships, was second at the Masters in April. He's burdened with the tag of best player without a major championship. But he did push Patrick Reed all the way to the line
back
in April.
Yeah.
He must have a good chance. Fowler at 15-1. Rory McIlroy, 16-1. It feels to me like he's flying under the radar a little bit. This week, McIlroy. I know he's still fourth in our betting here with William Hill, but as well as that win at Royal Liverpool in 2014, he's finished top 5 in subsequent Opens.
Yeah, he's probably the only player, isn't he, to be in the top 5 in the last 3. Last 3 he's played. He missed St Andrews, didn't he, with his football leg injury. I'm not quite sure that the fast running track will suit him.
Okay.
I mean, you always think, don't you, if it's long and a bit wet, that's when he's at his best. You can't really rule him out on the... And we've had some fairly terrible weather in recent Opens and he's battled on gamely, hasn't he? But I don't know whether this fast-running one will... I don't think it helps him more than... I think you can say this helps Sergio separate himself. I don't think it does with Rory.
Yeah, do you think it maybe hinders him?
A little bit, maybe. Yeah.
18-1, John Rahm?
Yeah, I'm got a sneaking suspicion about him. He will win a major very, very soon, and he might just sort of go mad this week if it comes off. It could go the other way. If he misses the cut, I wouldn't fall over either. But I can see him. I think when he was fourth at the Masters last time, because his major record up till then was a bit dodgy, wasn't it? But I think that fourth at the Masters, he's now ready and played well in Ireland, won in Ireland the year before on the links. If it is really, really low scoring, like you might, you know, minus 18 or something, that I think that brings him in.
Yeah, that is my concern this week, that it is going to be low scoring and Rahm would have a major chance. 18-1, John Rahm. Same price as Tommy Fleetwood at 18-1. I know which one I'd rather be on.
Yeah, I think so.
I'd no disrespect to Tommy Fleetwood whatsoever. Yeah. He shot that wonderful 63 at Shinnecock and he's got that, as you mentioned, Carnoustie form at the Dunhill Links.
Yeah.
But John Rahm is destined to win multiple major championships and be world number one.
Yeah.
Tommy Fleetwood isn't, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think Tommy Fleetwood, hopefully he'll win a major. He's got himself to be a top 10 player. But yeah, Rahm is, I think, in a different, you know, is a sort of almost once in a generation type player in theory, isn't he? So I think, Rahm could really shoot the lights out if it plays easier than we might like.
People may pour scorn on that and think that I'm completely wrong and that Fleetwood is the one to be on at 18-1 over John Rahm. But I look at this purely from a betting perspective, and and a talent perspective, and an 18-1 Rahm appeals to me more.
Well, it does seem to be every time Rahm comes back to Europe, he just plays out of his skin, doesn't he?
He's got just a phenomenal record in Europe.
Big kid against little kids in the playground. He just seems amazing when he comes back here.
What about the defending champion, Jordan Spieth, 20-1?
Well, I saw that stat on Twitter from Justin Ray about how bad his putting is, isn't it?
From 15 to 25 feet, he's like 200th out of 201 on tour.
And I've got an absolutely amazing player as well, but I've got to the stage with him where I don't believe a word he says anymore. Do you know what I mean? When he's sort of... I know they're all saying I'm put a positive spin on it, especially someone like Mickelson, but I don't quite believe Spieth when he's saying I'm ready and it's coming round, and it's really, are you? I don't know. I've lost a bit of trust in, because you've got to back it up with the results, haven't you? And he's not had a decent result in quite a while.
Okay, we're 22-1 bar. The other players we need to mention, we do need to mention these players as well. Brooks Koepka, 22-1.
Brilliant. Always brilliant in majors, isn't he?
And why is he? He's probably underrated, isn't he? In terms of the betting market, he should be 16-18-1 alongside Rahm and McIlroy.
Yeah, why is he bigger than Fowler? He's won two US Opens,
and he's finished 10th and 6th in his last two Open Championships.
Yeah, and that's how he cut his teeth on the European Tour, playing in all sorts of different conditions and weather. So yeah, that's silly. Why is that price?
Yeah, Justin Thomas 22-1. Current form an issue.
They're always interesting, aren't they, when you get what is he, world number two?
Yeah.
If you're just sort of going on the world number two is 22-1, you can make a case for it, can't you? You can say, well, why is he that price? Why is he rated that far down?
I suppose he's not shown any form in the Open Championship.
Yeah, that's obviously what it's based on.
Which is what it's based on.
Yeah, but that will change, won't it?
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you, at some point? It's just whether you want to gamble it, whether you're trying to anticipate it,
or whether you let him get one in the bag and then go in.
And what about Tiger Woods?
I think he's got a big chance.
Yeah, I do as well, 22-1 Tiger.
I'm probably going to have to back him, because I'd like to be part of the sort of amazing sort of story cheering along if he does do it. But that Brandel Chamblee quote, I think there is some,
Oh, some logic to that.
Yeah, absolutely,
definitely.
Yeah.
I think if you're...
And if I'm basing...
You put a lot of stock in the result at Hoylake, haven't you, in 2006?
So I'm doing that with Sergio. I've got to do it on the man who won that week.
Yeah.
Tiger actually said as well, it reminds him of St Andrews in 2000, and he won that one as well. So he clearly loves fast-running open tracks.
And short game has been superb on the PGA Tour. By short game, I mean his wedge play and his chipping.
Yeah, he's in the top four for strokes gained approach and strokes gained around the green. Yeah. So, what a great combination.
I just suppose that the putter is the issue, isn't it? I mean, he switched putters.
Yeah.
And he did seem to put better in his most recent start stateside when Francesco Molinari galloped clear.
Yeah.
But he's always said that he struggled putting on slower greens.
Yeah.
And that is what we're going to get at Carnoustie this week, you'd think.
Yeah, compared to what they have week in, week out in America. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think he's more likely to win somewhere a bit different and unusual than he is like on an American course. Well, I think there's too many good young players now who out-hit him and out-put him on a normal American PGA Tour event. Mm. So I think he needs something a bit different, like a firm, fast-running thing where it's more imagination and skill, pure skill.
Are there any other players you want to mention before we just move on to the supporting markets?
I'm sure there are.
Have we covered? Well, we've covered the top...
Just read them out from 25 to like 40s.
Okay, Alex Noren, who you obviously done, Henrik Stenson, Francesco Molinari, Jason Day, Patrick Reed and Paul Casey are both 33s, along with Tyrrell Hatton, Brandon Grace, Hideki Matsuyama, Mark Leishman, all 40s. Bubba Watson, Zach Johnson, both 50s, 55-1, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Phil Mickelson, 60-1, Ian Poulter, Russell Knox, 66-1, and bigger the rest.
Yeah, most of them. Got a chance, maybe apart from Bubba. There's a lot of the early ones when you say, like, Brandon Grace, and you think, well, he likes a low run, fast bouncy track, he should go well.
Yeah.
Shot that 62 at Royal Birkdale last year. There's a lot, isn't there? There's a lot in this.
Oh, there's a hell of a lot. Like this is the major championship where loads can win. Yeah. Each and every year.
But I do think when you look at the leaderboard at the end of the week, I think you will have a good smattering of names that don't surprise you at all.
Plenty of experience, do you see at the top just of that leaderboard?
Proper open players, yeah. I think, will be up there.
I agree with you.
I don't think you're just going to get a sort of real random bunch of people.
The one man that I think is still overpriced, and I put him up for the US Open, mm-hmm. Xander Schauffele, yeah. who is 100-1. He finished 20th on his Open debut. I just think that they've not quite called onto how good he is.
Yeah.
So he's 100-1.
Could go well.
I think he might go okay. Supporting markets then, Mr. Tindall.
Yeah, I've got a couple in this. A player who I could back individually, but there's a hashtag your odds.
Okay.
They're in price brackets. This is at 50-1.
Right.
Are you on that section?
I am on that section.
I think it's the first one. And it's Danny Willett and Brant Snedeker.
Yep.
Both to finish in the top 10.
All right, okay.
At 50s.
Yep.
I really like Snedeker.
Including ties, that is, as well.
That includes ties, yeah, which could help. I really like Snedeker this week. I think he's always done well, and he loves coming to the Open, doesn't he? He always goes to the pub and just gets himself in the spirit of it all. Third at Lytham, when his 36-hole score was, I think, the lowest ever in the tournament's history, matching Faldo. 11th at Muirfield as well. You've seen him play great by the coast when he's won Pebble twice, he's won at Torrey Pines. I think he'll love the conditions this week. He's already been tweeting and Instagramming himself at the course. And I've been listening because, he is a proven winner, isn't he? I think he won 8 times or something? But he's somebody at the start of the year you're looking for, maybe on that West Coast, and it wasn't quite happening. But I saw him interviewed a couple of times, and he keeps saying he's close, and it's coming. And there were signs, but I think now, you know, he's put it into practice. 6th at St Jude and then 3rd at the Greenbrier. So he's, you know, those are in his last 4 starts. So I think he's coming into some good form. And he's another, I think, the conditions will really suit him.
Yeah.
So I think he can be one of the Americans a little bit under the radar that just loves this week. And then Willett, he's completely coming back into form. And you feared he might win the Masters and then vanish.
He was on the precipice, wasn't he? He was ready to drop off the cliff.
I mean, it was one of those ones. It's form and injury, they're a horrible combination, aren't they? And one affects the other. But 8th at the Italian, 6th in the Irish Open, top 20 in Scottish Open again last week. And he's got some open form as well. Tied 6th at St Andrews, tied 15th at Muirfield. So again, I just thought two of those as could sort of sneak into that top 10 at 50s. Just
that's
sort of caught my eye a little bit because I don't know if I quite trust them to get in the top 5 or have we're top 7 each way betting, but I think that the fact that you get the ties as well, a couple of tied tenths for them, 50s.
Possibly, yeah. Willett and Snedeker 50-1 in that hashtag your odds. The only other, I'm not having a bet in the supporting markets, but the one that caught my eye was in the top 20 market at 15-2.
Yeah,
and it's a man that's got the most top 10s and top 5s on the European Tour this season, Jorge Campillo,
right? Yeah,
He finished 3rd in the Irish Open a couple of weeks ago. He's got an 8th in the Scottish Open a couple of seasons ago as well. Overall form in on links layouts isn't spectacular. This is his first major championship, but I thought he might exceed expectations. So 15-2 on Jorge Campillo to be in the top 20, I thought was mildly interesting, shall we say.
Yeah. I've got another one. I've got a shorty here, but I really like it. It's the hashtag your odds again. 11-10 that a previous major winner lifts the trophy.
Yeah.
I mean, how many of those have you got going for you? You've got so many in the field that could do this. And I quickly counted back. Last year, Spieth is a major winner. Stenson wasn't, but 2015, Zach Johnson, he was a major winner. 2014, Rory, major winner.
Yeah.
2013, Mickelson, previous major winner. 2012, Ernie Els. So 5 of the last 6 Opens have been won by a major winner, and you get an 11-10.
I'll
look at how many players you've got going for you.
Yeah, I like that bet as well because I'm at the prices. I'm kind of negative on Fowler and Fleetwood personally at 15s and 18s respectively, and I respect John Rahm massively.
Cover yourself.
You could do, but Dustin Johnson, Justin Rose, McIlroy, Spieth, Koepka, Thomas, Woods, Stenson, Garcia. You've got a lot of good names that I like this week running for you. Obviously, one of my two selections isn't Stenson, a major championship in Leishman.
But it's a way of sort of if you like quite a lot of the big names but can't quite decide on which one, it sort of gathers that a lot up and decent price.
Did you see anything in the top player markets that stood out for you or not?
Nothing really dramatically.
Nothing. I usually have one or two where I don't like any of them this time.
The only one I slightly looked at was top left hander. And I think Mickelson's head's not right. I think he's just a bit, he's got sidetracked.
Do you think that with that rules infraction?
Yeah, and then he's thinking about this daft game with Tiger and everything. I don't know. I just think he's not quite on it at the minute. Bubba's no good in the Open. So the one I looked at, Brian Harman, 5-2.
Yeah,
there's one other player in there. I think it's one of the Chinese players.
Yeah,
but didn't stand out as an obvious threat. So I thought Brian Harman.
Lin Yuxin,
Lin Yuxin. So I thought Brian Harman was
interesting.
Could sneak
to
that because I think this course he could, plot his way. You could see how his steady game would do well there.
Yeah. Very good. Very good, Mr. Tindall. Who's the player you don't want to win this week then?
I'd probably say Rahm then.
Yeah, I'd be Rahm and if I'd.
Oh, that's a strange comment, though, isn't it? I don't want him. I do want him to win in theory.
Yeah. I suppose either him or Tiger Woods if I wasn't going to have a few quid on Tiger, which I might.
You can sort of cover these off. Obviously, we're betting him play all from the very start. So if you see the scores are getting particularly low, then I would pull the trigger on Rahm.
Yeah.
If you think there's a load of people at 6-under at the start, after day one or something, and you think, oh, wow, this could be, just a load of rounds in the 60s are going to win this. I think that's his best chance, don't you, if it's low scoring.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he has won, obviously, at Torrey Pines, which was a difficult track, but
yeah.
Most of his
other... He won in Ireland, didn't he? He was about 24 under or something.
I think he would relish it if it's easy conditions. And I think if it does play how maybe Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy and John Rahm anticipate, where you can eliminate the bunkers by just getting driver out on every hole... That's going to be a significant advantage for those players if the rough isn't anywhere near as penal as it has been in the past at Carnoustie.
I think so, but it might. I mean, there's been those clips, and Harrington and Snedeker have both sort of nearly driven the green at the last, which is 450 yards. That idea that you can be too close to the green.
Yeah, and I think Tiger hit a 3-iron 333 yards. I mean, it is one of those weeks where it's going to... course management's going to be a serious factor, I think. And
I'll tell you one player we've not mentioned, if you can just blast away, Ryan Fox.
Yeah.
He's been amazing, hasn't he, the last 2 weeks and those two tournaments the previous year as well.
Yeah.
What was he, hundreds?
100-1.
Yeah.
There you have it.
So many.
There are so many in contention this week. Give us your selections then, Dave.
Yeah, so I'm going to go... a point and a half each way, Alex Noren at 25s, and a point and a half each way, Sergio at 28s. And then in the side markets, I'll have a point on Danny Willett and Brant Snedeker both finishing in the top 10 or ties at 50s.
Yeah.
That's in the hashtag Your Odds. And then the other hashtag Your Odds, 11-10, that the Open is won by a previous major winner. 4 points on that.
Mm. Yeah, I quite like that. I'm going a point each way, Mark Leishman, at 40-1. So if it's not won by a previous major winner, hopefully it's Mark Leishman at 40s, and a point each way on Sergio Garcia at 28-1 as my two bets this week. I'm looking forward to this, folks. Hopefully you are as well. Don't forget to use that super bet boost on the Open Championship here with William Hill as well. I do hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Any questions you've got for myself and Dave, do make sure you drop us a line on Twitter at Dave Tindall Golf, at D Kellner. Check out all the betting, loads of markets available at williamhill.com and on the app as well. Enjoy the Open Championship at Carnoustie. It should be something quite spectacular, and good luck with all your bets. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.